if you could build a business in the modern world as big or as small as you want without having to compromise the things that were the most important to you in the very beginning? This is the Wealthy Consultant Talks podcast with Taylor Welch and Mike Walker as they share with you today their learning lessons from stories in their experiences over the past 10 to 15 years and share with you right here, right now. Let's get into it.
What's going on, my friends? Mike here, and I'm with my buddy Taylor. This is another episode of TWC Talks, the Wealthy Consultant Talks podcast. And as always, we're diving deep into the mind of the entrepreneurial experience and bringing you insights, value, and sometimes even intrigue and mystery into what it is to master the high-stakes world of building a business. Mr. Taylor Welch, how are you, sir? Good morning.
I'm really good. It's a good day. We're starting to turn the corner on like weather. We were on a call yesterday, and this is so silly that people are probably like, why are we talking about weather on a business podcast? That people make decisions based on the weirdest stuff. Signs, like if I feel this way, feel that. But weather is a big deal, man. Like,
oh, yeah.
Weather actually impacts how people think and their positivity levels and their dopamine levels. And so it's nice to finally get into springtime where people just seem a little bit happier. I don't know. Can't explain it. You're in California. You don't have any idea what I'm talking about.
I was going to say, I have no idea what you're talking about right now, but it sounds awful and good at the same time.
The rest of the world has to sort of go in and out of winter seasons.
Yeah, I don't know what seasons are. We have warm and hot. That's what we have, but yeah. It's all good. It's okay. It's all okay. Right. We're having an event out here in September, so you guys are going to get a feel for it. It's going to be perfect.
Yeah. Dude, we're already selling tickets for that. A ticket came in yesterday. It's a branding. It's like a brand advertising workshop. So, you know, this is interesting for people who are wanting to grow in a way that doesn't tie them to the social media platforms. If you're feeling concentration risk from having exclusively paid ad growth, you should come out to this event in September because we're going to be talking about branding, organic content, how to make your content fit your brands. People mess up their brand a million different ways. And that's a good time. Let's give a quick state of the union address, so to speak, on because we've been talking about some of these topics, and I want to cover where I think we are in 2024 and how I feel like things are progressing, just from our point of view. Just got off of the phone with the reason I was late to this podcast, and I apologize for that. Is because I was on the phone with our sales partner. We run inside of our portfolio. We have a sales training staffing organization, and we have pieces of data that we're collecting from so many different places. The Wealthy Consultant has a bunch of data that we're getting. You know, we're starting to scale up customer volume, and customer volume comes with data. So we keep somewhere between, I don't know, 50 to 100 lines of data per customer. And it's not like, so I'm not saying it's social security numbers. I'm sorry. Like, what do people need help with? What emails are they opening? And when you see someone clicking on a product link, you sort of get an indication to what they're interested in. And so we store all that data. We try to make it really intelligent. And then we also have the sales system. So we have multiple 8-figure brands. I think there's one 9-figure brand in the sales wing as well. And so we're collecting data from not only our own business and our own clients, but all of their businesses.
All right.
And here's what we're seeing. And we're going to turn this show into like a very positive, exciting experience. But it is a brutal place in the world right now if you are trying to make money online. If you're feeling like things are hard, if you're feeling like things are difficult, if you're feeling like things are not working the way they used to, you're seeing correctly. So there's nothing wrong with you. That's exactly what's happening. And dude, me and we've been talking about this for 2 years at this point. Literally the first time I started addressing it was the summer of 2022. It's like, hey, this does not look good. There's some bubbles here, there, and everywhere, and change your models now. And a few people listen, and those people are, so a lot of them are clients. You look at Sarah, you look at, dude, our Winch channels are literally overflowing. You're setting revenue records and personnel records. Why? It's because they changed their model before they had to. Mm-hmm. And I think this is an indication of like how you know you're going to be okay. If you are waiting until the last possible moment to fix something, you are not going to be in business next year. There is 0% chance. And the world will celebrate your dumbass not being in business because you suck. Here's the reality of the situation. When people cannot make intelligent decisions until they're forced into it, What it means is that they are a child. They lack long-term runways, and they can't think beyond tomorrow, beyond next week, beyond next month. I stood up at our last event, and people were a little bit like, oh, dude, this is a little mean. And I was like,
a little uncomfortable. Yeah, exactly.
Our job as stewards of this market, because that's what we are, is to only take business owners who deserve to be business owners, which means we have a very tight acceptance rate. And we can prove this through the people that we don't accept, through the people that are accepted from a salesperson and then refunded post-enrollment, which is always fun. It's always an interesting feeling because the client sometimes is a little bit like, well, at least I got my money back. Like, thanks for that. But like, why? Why don't I qualify? It's because, well, you don't have a business. That's why you don't qualify. We can't help you with anything. And we have other things for those people. But why am I going off on this rant? Because I think it's going to get worse. It's not getting better. We have probably until the end of the year, maybe February, March of next year, where the market is just going to tighten up. And when things tighten up, you have to have a model that can support a constant growth curve through a tightened economy. You have to get ready for the economy to loosen back up next year. And if you're not ready, then you'll just, not only will you get beat to shit this one, but you'll miss the growth
opportunity. The trajectory. Yeah.
So it's a cumulative compounding spiral. You get to decide whether you're going to spiral up or whether you're going to spiral down. And the hardest thing that you have to realize is that I can't make that decision for you. Mike can't make that decision for you. Okay, so that's the bad news. What's the good news? The good news is there are a predictable handful of tools and frameworks and real strategies that are cutting through the noise like knife through warm butter. I mean, like, dude, our front-end products right now, do you know what they're liquidating?
No, we're over 100%.
190% on average.
There we go.
I'm buying customers for brands. The average customer is worth $600 to $800. I'm buying those customers for less than free.
For less than free.
So we talk about some, I watched somebody send me a video of a buddy of mine who's amazing. He's like talking about arbitrage. And he's like, you know, if I can buy a customer for $100, it's worth $1,000. I arbitrage the $900 in the middle. Similar approach. You know, if you see a piece of real estate, that real estate is worth $300,000 and you can buy it for $200, you're going to make money. Mm-hmm. Picture the same scenario. The piece of real estate is worth, you know, $300,000 and I'm buying it for free and getting paid immediately to, it doesn't exist anywhere else. Like this is the only type of arbitrage that you have in the world outside of your very painful software development type gigs. So we're buying customers. We're not spending any money for them. Now, for the literalists who are listening to this,
yeah.
We spend money on ads, but we make it back. We recoup it 100% in the first purchase. So that's what that means. So it's like me and Mike have a deal. Mike, I'm going to give you $30. You give me $50. Well, that's a good deal for me. I want to take that deal. And but what if I give Mike 50, or what if I give Mike 30, he gives me 50. It's a good deal for me, but the asset that I give Mike in exchange for that money makes him $1,000. Now it's a good deal for Mike and it's a good deal for me at the same time.
Yep.
This is where we are as an economy. It's like you've got to escape velocity from the zero sum way of doing business and get into net net plus plus. It's good on both sides. So we're teaching this entire model actually in June. I think if you go to wealthyconsultant.com/Charleston, you can look into that. So if you're kind of like, yo, yeah, okay, well, I'm not going to wait until the last possible minute because I like being in business, you should go to that website and you should put in some information and you should get your shit together and you should try to get into a room that can protect you from the next 6 to 12 months of chaos that are coming. And if you don't, we'll give you free stuff and free podcasts, but you ain't going to be here. All right, you ain't going to be here. I'll bet money on the fact you ain't gonna be here in a year, and the world will be better because of it. Because we need fewer business owners who don't know how to make decisions. We need more real business owners who make difficult decisions. They invest even when they don't feel like they have it. I'm on something today. You can tell there's like a flipping of a switch. I'll tell you why I'm on if we have time to get into it, but I know stuff you want to talk about.
Let's do it. This is where we're going. This is the right way.
Dude, so I used to have a reputation, Mike, in the market for just being brutal. Mm-hmm. Brutal. You know, a lot of people made a lot of money because of my brutality. They were afraid. They were afraid that what was going to happen if they got on a call with me and they hadn't done their work. And so you were there. You were around this era.
Yeah, I saw it.
And I sort of pendulum swung a little bit. Part of that was because, like, I didn't have finesse. I was young. I was a little mature in it. And I didn't have enough finesse in it. So I would just show up on a call and be like, dude, you're a loser. You deserve to starve. And if you can't, and people were like, oh my gosh, this is really mean. I feel traumatized by this.
No warm and fuzzies.
Yeah. I balanced out a little bit in the middle, and then the FTC happened. I mean, when you have the FTC, you're fighting a 1,000-pound gorilla who can rip both your arms and legs off without even flinching. And there's no way to have, like, your mindset kind of tends to crumble in those situations. Mm. And we've talked about the FTC. We posted about it. We got in trouble for something not only that we didn't even do, but they didn't even find anything once they went through it. So it's just a silly situation. But that caused me to just be so reserved. And I got some feedback from some clients like, yo, we kind of need accountability. We want a little bit of more like pushing. And then one of our newest chamber members, the advisor who enrolled that person and talked to that person, he said, you know, this is the piece of feedback he gave me. I'm going to share it with you. And here's what he said.
Okay.
This new client said, I know that I need to be in an environment where Taylor is so that I can be pushed and I won't be accepted with my excuses. I said, oh, wow. Okay, so it might be time for me to course correct. This was a week ago. You have these life-altering moments that change your paradigm and change your perspective. And you don't even know a lot of the story, but Monday morning I woke up and Lindsay, my wife, had fainted. She'd passed out. And she had like extreme dehydration. She had a stomach flu. We had to take her to the hospital. This is the scariest moment of your entire life. When someone you love, you're like, what happens if this doesn't this doesn't turn around? And I was telling a client yesterday, I was like, don't care about anything anymore. I'm like, just forget everything. Like, who cares? As long as you have like your family and your friends, your relationships, everything else is intact. And I realized that the secret to being able to balance both states come through perspective when you can get really clear on what matters the most in your life. And one of the things I learned from this week is that, you know, if some point I'm going to pass away, I'm going to die. And I want to help as many people as possible get to their full potential before I go. And so when you're confronted with the reality that you won't live forever, it changes how you live today. And so that's part of the reason, even yesterday on the call, people were like, yo, what did Taylor take for breakfast? What's going on with this right now? I don't care anymore. I'm going to die someday. And my hope is that when I do pass away, there are tens of thousands, hundreds of thousands of people who say he helped me do something I never could have done on my own. That only comes through tough love and difficult conversations and challenging conversations. And so, yeah, people are going to see a different side of me probably in the next couple of weeks. It's more reminiscent of how I used to think, but hopefully a little bit more finesse because I really do love people. Yeah. I want them to know. But I did call a client a terrorist yesterday on a one-on-one.
No, I've dealt with that too, where I even had one of the clients, you know, I was on a one-on-one call with them and they're like, man, Taylor was pretty rough on me. And, you know, this is actually quite a while ago too. And I said, well, you're not here for friends. I mean, we are friends and we love you and support you, but you're not in chamber to just feel good and be patted on the back, are you?
Right.
No, not really. I said, look, like, you don't pay us to be your buddies. You pay us to be your consultants and your guidance, your mentors. And that really kind of reframed it for me. He's like, oh, okay. You know, and it's like, you go to the gym, do you want like a pansy coach just go, well, try one more pushup if you can, if you have time, if you feel like it. That's not why you pay a coach. You go to the gym to get pushed, get yelled at, and excel and exceed your own expectations. So I think it's I know it's going to be really well received, and with the little flavor of perspective that you now have that you didn't a decade or so ago, I think will make it even more well received for sure.
That's right. That's right, bro. All right. Do we want to talk about anything in particular today or?
Yeah, well, something, let's end on this, because you said something yesterday on the chamber call. One of my favorite times of the week, by the way, is on Wednesdays. Taylor and I, we jump on with basically an open format Q&A, just with our chamber members, our top tier consultant clients. And it's just a really cool time because we get a vibe for what's going on in their world, and we get to, you know, inject our thoughts and concepts and frameworks into theirs. But one thing you said yesterday, Taylor, that really stood out to me, you said, you know, context can create confusion. And that's obviously contradictory to what a lot of people feel like. You know, we're like, oh, I need more context before I can make a decision. And I think we get into this analysis paralysis. So I kind of just wanted to jump into this little rabbit hole with you. If you could expand on your thought there of why context can create confusion, because that's not a norm for people to think or yeah. say.
So the thing I was particularly addressing yesterday was, you know, people tend to want to tinker with things when there's not a problem that they're trying to solve. And one of our values is problem to be solved thinking.
Yes.
Don't ever bring an idea that's not designed to solve a problem. And a problem can be as simple as, I want to increase the client happiness rate inside of the business, all the way to like, I want to not run out of money before the end of the year. Like, you know, you have a spectrum inside sure. of your problems. Not all problems are rated equally. But what I'm trying to flesh out with clients and members of our community is, like, you don't need all this contextual data to decide whether you should record a video asset for your marketing. Why are you wasting my time telling me everything that's ever happened to you since you were three to decide, you know, if, hey, Taylor, I'm thinking about starting building a new marketing channel for acquisition. Now, here's the thing I'm thinking about. When I was five, you know, I was betrayed. I said, dude, I don't care about that. Nobody cares about that. Be quiet. Like, let's stop talking about that. And I'm being extreme, but, you know, what the client in particular that we were kind of fixing yesterday, he has a business that's turning leads into clients in like 9 months. So it's a 9-month gestation period, if you will.
Mm.
Well, that's actually quite good. And for the record, if you hear other people being like, yo, from lead to client in 24 hours, you know, that's scam.
Yeah. Yeah.
I would be very careful trying to build that business and build that system, because the faster you acquire a client, in many cases, the more urgent that client's problems are going to be and the harder they're going to be to solve for you. And you typically see people get in trouble with claims and different things when they're trying to hack a gestation conversion period. And so context creates confusion, because if you're an overthinker, you will just cycle through useless pieces of data over and over and over. And in your mind has tricked you. Your mind has convinced you that, you know, you need to look at every angle. It's like you have to make sure that if the weather changes or if this happens, no. Some things, when we want to solve a problem, we go solve the problem. We don't worry about what month it is. We don't worry about this or that or anything else. We just solve the problem. And so I was mainly making a statement that the world does not care about your context. They do not care.
Mm-hmm.
And we see this in content all the time, because what our content team will do, they're doing it right now, and I'm in hot water on Instagram, because Jake, our media guy, he cut a section out of a video that just made me look crazy and put it. And this is the world of like legacy media too. They do it all of the time. So the removal of all context is damaging.
Sure.
But an oversaturation of context is confusing.
Mm-hmm.
And so this is a beautiful spectrum of what's the problem that you're trying to solve. It's more clients. Okay, let's solve that problem. If you need more clients and your leads are turning into clients in 9 months, what do we do? Mm-hmm. It's very simple. We just get more leads. That's it. All we have to do is get more leads. But then he was like, well, what if the leads don't turn into clients? Yeah, dude, what if we get struck with an asteroid in 6 months and the power grid goes up? You know, what if What if? Yeah. Hypothetically this, hypothetically that, and you get stuck in inaction because you won't move forward without mounds and mounds of context, which doesn't help you solve the issue.
And you kind of highlight it too. I think if I remember properly, we as we started to button up that topic, it really, what it stemmed from was fear. It was fear-based thinking. It was this, what if, what about that? What about that? All the unknowns, right? The unknown unknowns. And it was just, but it actually ultimately was rooted in fear. And I think that's where people as entrepreneurs just need to grow up and realize, like, look, you're not going to figure it out all the way. You're not going to see every turn, nook and cranny before you ever take the first step. Like, trust your gut, jump, build the plane on the way down, and trust that you have the skill sets, the people, the resources, especially if you're in something like Chamber, that you're going to figure it out as you go. And it's that trust, faith-based decision-making, I think is really, really powerful.
Yeah. People do the same thing on like investment decisions. You know, potentially the only asset class that has unlimited upside and almost zero downside is skill acquisition. That might be the only asset class that has that asymmetric risk profile.
Well said.
And, you know, the thing, when you look at my journey, I took my first client in 2014. By 2016, I was a millionaire. That's less than 2 years. And I was only full time in my business for 8 months before I became a millionaire.
Wow.
How does that work? Like, why do people struggle around for years and years and years and not ever make it? And it's like, well, I started buying perspectives from mentors and teachers and trainers very early. And so the first thing I did when I got my first client is I paid someone to teach me how to sell, because I didn't know how to sell. I got lucky with that person. I knew that I got lucky with the client, so I needed to learn it. Then I paid a marketing coach. Then I paid a mindset coach. And it's just boom, boom, boom. You look at my ability to make quick investments into my own skill acquisition, and you can see that's where the growth curve came from. And counter that with people who spend years following me and following us on social media, and they'll get consults and they'll get little bits here and there, and they're like, well, I can't spend $9,000 because I don't know if it's going to work out. It's like, okay, I don't care anymore. Waste your entire life and regret it at the end. If that's
never the take a step,
you would rather pay in regret than in risk. Be my guest. Go for it. You know, that's up to you.
There's a right and wrong.
I have a unique perspective and a unique mission because I went through it. And I don't think I could speak with this level of conviction if I didn't do it the right way. You know?
I love that. Yeah. Eventually people either die or they start making decisions, one or the other. It's like you just run out of steam. And I say die, like both metaphorically and obviously literal, but you know, a business, every business, whether it be a fledgling idea or a established business, every business, every entity has a runway, and eventually that runway ends and there's just rocks and cliffs at the end. And either you break gravity and you get safely up in the air, or you just go on off all then hopscotch your way down the runway until you know, find the end. And it's only by breaking gravity and getting up, but that usually comes through acceleration. And that acceleration obviously is only going to come from, linking arms with people that have been there, done that. And, you obviously did that artfully because you found yourself there.
This is why we track one of my favorite metrics in the business is our reactivation rate. I like this number even more than our enrollment rate, because when someone leaves, because people aren't locked into like long-term contracts with us. I just decided I didn't want to do that anymore. I'm not selling automobiles with an asset attached to it. If you want to leave, you know, it's up to you. I'm going to give you the freedom to do that. But when they do leave, and they can't find anything else anywhere comparable, and then 6 months, they just look at their growth rate has kind of plummeted. We let them come back in because that's a beautiful point to make for the market. It's like, look how many people per month reactivate because they can't find anything usefully comparable in the market. And I love that our reactivation is high, because it means that we're not trying to make decisions for people. We're counseling and consulting them, but we ultimately let them make their own decisions. And that's how you learn. That's how you learn as an entrepreneur. And then sometimes they don't reactivate. I just saw this morning a client who he requested to pause. And we have systems for all of this, Mike, that you built, and you can talk about these on another show. But he requested to pause. He was going to go do some other things, and this was maybe 8 or 9 months ago. And you know, he just posted, and it was a celebratory post because he accepted a job at a school. And when I read that, I think two things. I think, well, that's awesome. You know, congratulations, because this is obviously something you want to do. You've been looking for this. But the second thing I think is, how could it have been different? And if you would have been able to fix the things that we were telling you to fix, mm-hmm. and not have, you would not have left and muddied your environment and gotten conflicting advice from random people. Yesterday, someone on the call is like, I'm getting this advice from someone else. It's like, yo, they're 12. Why are you going to listen to that? Like, what's the point? They don't keep it clean. And yeah. I have a bit of a philosophy on this where it's like, I usually only have like one coach per area at a time, because I want to find the person who is the best, demonstrably the best. And I don't want to have conflicting advice that I'm trying to follow. It's better to have one general than three or four or even two. So yeah. Anyways, we can there, but that's my thoughts on context.
I love that. And that really brings it home is consider your inputs, guys. You know, consider what you're letting into your brain, right? Like the computers between our ears are ultimately what will dictate the depths or the success that we reach in business. And that's all built on what we feed that computer, both through audio, visual, and of course the environment that we put it in. So be very, very conscious and aware of that content that you feed your brain. It's a big one. So awesome, man. Well, hey, thanks for jamming with me, Taylor. This was a cool one. I know it'll benefit a lot of people. Be a good listener with some writer downers even. So break out the highlighter and the pen, guys. Write it out. There's some gold in here that you can attribute to success later down the road for yourselves. All right.
Love
we'll see you in another episode.
See you guys.